Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Orange Kids podcast, where we take the big ideas of kids ministry and discuss practical solutions for our week-to-week challenges. My name is Mike, and today I am joined by my fellow co-host and friend, Gina.
How are we doing?
Hey, Gina. How are you?
I'm really good.
Doing good?
Yeah.
Good to see you as always. And Kellen.
Hi.
Hi, Kellen.
I'm good. You didn't ask, but I'm going to just tell you I'm doing good.
Thank you so much for telling me you're good, because you look good. You sound good, and you are good. It's all good.
There's a ditty in there somewhere.
It's all brewing. It's all brewing. Well, thanks so much for hanging out with us today, whenever you're listening to this, however you're listening to this. And we have another friend with us today, guys, and we're excited to have Dan Scott with us here. Hi, Dan.
Hello. How's it going?
We are well. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. Now, Dan Scott is the director of 252 Kids and Preteen Curriculum here at Orange, and he is the author of Caught in Between, Engaging Your Preteens Before They Check Out. And guess what we're going to talk about here today? We're going to talk about preteens.
Yeah.
So there is a lot to cover here, and we want to jump right into it. So we'll start with this, Dan, and we'll see where this goes.
Yeah.
Why is it, because we've all experienced it as ministry leaders, that our preteens, fourth and fifth graders, especially, it seems like the boys, they begin to check out, they begin to fade, we begin to lose them. And why is it that preteens are checking out what seems like an alarming rate? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just me.
But. Yeah, that's a great way to start this conversation. You know, I think that there are probably two things that we need to keep in mind. One is developmentally where they're at, that their minds are changing and they're seeing the world in a new way, and often related to the second thing, that the ministries we create, you know, if we have these K-5 environments, we're shooting somewhere. We're trying to hit one type of child. We're not going to hit a kindergartner and a fifth grader at the same time. It's just impossible. And especially because they're developmentally thinking a little bit more abstractly about life, they're now able to see like, oh my word, I've been in this environment for the past 6 years and really nothing has changed. Right. And so this environment must be for little kids and it must not be for me. And their brain is just open to that and they're aware of it. And it's like the longest phase of our ministries where a child is keenly aware that they're in it. You know,
like in preschool,
you're there for five years, but you don't realize you're there for five years. You know, that's why we do specific middle school ministries and high school ministries, because the same thing is true once you get up into student world. Like, you need to break it up somehow. But children's ministry, we just typically have not, you know, throughout the years. And so, you know, part of it is, let's say, their fault, you know, as far as developmentally. Now, they have no control over it. Sometimes they're thinking like children. Sometimes they're thinking like teenagers, and you can't choose when that's going to be. And part of it is our fault that we haven't really looked at our ministry and strategically said, how can we keep engaging this child, knowing what we know about how their brain is changing?
Yeah. What is it, though? Because I can appreciate what you're saying. And as a ministry leader, like, that's where my head always gravitates is, you know, I'm pulling off an elementary experience every week that is pretty dynamic.
Yeah.
Production value is pretty solid. It's falling within, it's hitting on all the notes that I want to hit in terms of, you know, I've got a small group leader in their life that's connecting with them relationally. And so my hope and assumption is that that's what's going to draw that fifth grader back in, is that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that essentially can be the glue through a season where I would think, you know, even though maybe the production value should capture their attention still.
Yeah. But it won't. You're right. I mean, that's the law of diminishing returns. Like, the relationship has to be there because their brain is going to check off the bells and whistles at some point. They're not going to do anything for them. The relationship thing is hard, though, because if that small group leader has to understand the changes that are happening in that child, because even if they're there with them since kindergarten, they have a fantastic relationship with them, but they don't realize, oh, they're not kids anymore.
Right.
They need to talk about, or they need to think about things that are a little bit more pressing, a little bit more, you know, urgent, if they're not having those conversations and they aren't changing the relationship, then they're not going to attach themselves to the relationship either. And that's a lot easier for a girl to do, just stereotypically, not always, but boys especially, they don't want to talk about their feelings.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
You know, so right. that relationship yeah. thing isn't necessarily going to grab them. So what's that piece of your environment that's yeah. going to either, you know, keep them laughing, because humor is such a great currency yeah. with a preteen boy, you know, but not humor that hits a kindergartner, you know? Yeah. So
it's going to go right over their
heads. Yeah, it's going to go right over their heads. Or
I love what you said. And I think this is probably the missing piece for a lot of kid men leaders, is that it's understanding what these kids are going through right now, yeah. right? And yeah. how they're changing and how they're developing, and the relationship is fine. But if that relationship, they don't understand humor, they don't understand the complexities.
Yeah.
What is, because in our kid men life, we don't have a lot of time to kind of park and pull off to the side and say, let's talk about child development and let's, right. yeah, let's yeah, see yeah, what's yeah, going yeah. on. Like, what is happening
in this train? No,
it just keeps going.
A snapshot of like, what are the main things that are changing in the life of a preteen that we need to be aware of?
Okay. Really quickly, I go into a lot of depth in the book. Yeah. So
get the book.
Definitely. Great, we don't have time to go into all of them.
Right.
Just the main things are happening. They're way more aware of culture.
Got it.
This is when you're going to start to get into music. You're going to start to get into media, movies. You're going to come up with your own tastes of things, not what your parents have brought you to.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's the children's small group leader who keeps talking about Disney Channel, and literally no one's watching Disney Channel in fifth grade. You know,
Disney XD.
Yeah. I mean, they're watching Disney Plus, but right. they're watching The Mandalorian. You know, right. like so
as they should. I have spoken.
but no, like I think part of it is just knowing that culturally a lot is changing, and so when they are approaching even the way they. You know, those things that the storyteller on stage is trying to like cue them, like, I'm cool. Like, I know the things that you know. Mm-hmm. You probably don't, you know?
Right. And right. So, they're seeing through that.
Yeah. And so part of it is like, we have to do our homework a little bit and we have to spend some time on YouTube and we have to spend some time. I mean, this is the magic of the so-and-so show, right? Like we've tried to tap into the cultural like consciousness of a preteen and try to capture something that's happening out there in a way that connects to them. So that's one thing. Education's changing, extracurriculars are changing in that they're becoming more intense, they're becoming more stressful. And so when they're showing up on a Sunday and we're expecting them to like go deep, or we're expecting them to like, you know, do homework throughout the week, like that's literally not going to happen, because they're showing up already stressed out from the fact that the teacher's putting pressure on them to do higher level thinking that they really aren't good at yet. Their parents or coaches are saying, hey, we got to win this game. We have this tournament. Yeah. We're going to go to this next level. We're going to play this hard team. And they have all this stuff. And we forget that we need to create Sabbath environments for our kids, for them to just laugh and enjoy and have fun and be real.
No expectations,
right? Yeah. And so we tend to like shift and say, oh, they're able to do deeper things, so let's give them a deep environment.
Yeah.
Where deep really is honestly just helping them see how what scripture says just translates to their everyday world. That's really what that is. So those are a couple things that are happening. Developmentally, I mean, they're losing their minds. Like, let's be really honest. Like, cognitive. Oh, sorry.
There's like a scramble taking place.
Yeah. Cognitively, they're really, it's going away.
Right.
Like what they're getting rid of everything they don't need right now to make room for what they do
for adulthood.
And pruning is happening. Cognitive pruning. And so
when we say, are you losing your mind?
You say, like, yes, literally. They really should say, yes, they are, you know, and puberty's happening and that's super weird. So you have hormones and you have these days that are going to be really great. And so you're going to assume that the next week's going to be really great and it's not. And you're like, what is happening? And you're like, well, they're 11 years old. Like that's what's happening, you know? And so giving them some grace and benefit of the doubt and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, you've brought up a couple times environment, like setting an environment. If we could just take a second and just like, when you say environment, what's like the best possible environment that we can provide for a preteen when they show up on a Sunday morning?
Ideally, it'd be great to have their own, you know, so that when they show up, you have a specific environment that is decorated differently.
Yeah.
It's taught differently. The small group leaders are given a little bit more a responsibility in how they're caring for those kids. You know, maybe they're the that's when they start to do extracurricular activities and go watch them play soccer and, you know, connect with that group outside, you know, of the church building. But their own environment would be ideal. Yeah. Now, a lot of people ask a question, you know, well, what are we looking at? Fourth and fifth grader, fourth, fifth and sixth graders. And honestly, that's going to be up to the church and the area of the country. Yeah. And there's so many factors that are weighing in on that. I would say the big thing is don't feel like you have to do what your school district is doing, because your school district is making decisions based on space and budgets as much as you are making decisions on space and budgets.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily cognitively correct. It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And so if you feel like you want to put your fifth and sixth graders together, even though your sixth graders in your community are going into a middle school, don't be afraid of keeping them in a preteen environment and giving them some leadership skills, because they're going to school as the bottom of the totem pole. But what if on Sundays they were the top of the totem pole and you gave them some really great responsibilities within that fifth and sixth grade environment, or fourth, fifth and sixth grade environment, then now you're giving them some ownership of their faith, which really ideally is what the goal is at the end of the day, that we're giving them some of the keys to the kingdom as, you know, fourth, fifth and sixth graders.
That's really good.
Well, and I think what I love about the idea of giving them their own space and their own environment is they get to have a different type of conversation in that space.
Yeah. And the communicator from the stage is able to have a different sort of conversation. You know, across the board in family ministries, the more narrow your audience, the more specific your message. You know, even when you have a kindergartner and a fifth grader in the same room, I'm going to have to choose one of them.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And so most of the time I am going to defer to the fourth and fifth grader in the room, but that means I have lost and not helped that kindergartner and first grader apply that same story in their context. But when I have them specifically just a K-3 environment, they're way more similar to each other. And that, you know, is same would be in high school, you know, moving up the chain.
Right. Right. I've heard Reggie say before that if you can't, what does he say about wrestling with your doubts? If you can't own your doubts, you can't own your faith. Is that what he's
Sounds good.
Sounds really good. Whether he said it or not, right there. I mean, maybe you said it.
I said it. Yeah. Yeah. It's mine.
I heard Gina say one time.
Gina once said.
Can't own your doubts.
I think
but in a space with fourth and fifth grade, this is when they start to ask harder questions.
Yeah, right.
This is where they start to see that's a flimsy argument. They start to see through things more so than they don't accept things.
And they see nuances, you know, right? They they're starting to read through the lines and realize, you know, I've said this on many podcasts, but they realize there are a million floating dead bodies in the Noah's Ark story, right? And so like all of a sudden they're like, whoa, wait, what is this?
Wait a second.
But I thought this was just about like cute animals on, you know, in nursery halls.
Yeah. Sweet. So. No, not so much.
But that is one of the harder, I don't want to say harder, but fearful things. And like, it's like, come to our Sunday morning programming and I'm going to tell you, God loves you, bump. Yeah. Remember that, kids.
Yeah, yeah.
We're with preteen ministry. It's like, wait a minute. Hand goes up.
Yeah.
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
It's like,
But what about?
Save
home,
that for your parents. We don't talk about that here.
No. But that's where, like, that's where when you get them some sort of specific environment, your environment then can be the safest place for them to ask a hard question about faith. Right? Yeah. And that's what we want. We want these places to just be, I can be real and authentic and who I am. And it's messy. And it's we all look back on our preteen years with like awkward disdain, right? Oof. Like we want to forget about them and they're living them and they, you know, so we have to have grace and we need to, you know, just be there for them.
So if you talked about the ideal.
The ideal.
Separate space.
Which like 2% of the population.
Everybody has
always. That's right. Always.
We all don't have giant church buildings.
What if we're not operating within the ideal? What if...
As you're about to open like a portable campus.
You absolutely. Yeah. Like that means a hallway. It means getting another room that then I've got to put some kind of theming to or decorate or whatever case may be. What do you do with that when you're looking at we're talking to a ministry leader who would say, I have no budget. I have no space. How do I create something special just for my preteens?
I think there are several options. You know, if you're talking about environment specifically, even if you have a giant room, you can do wonders with pipe and drape and some IKEA furniture where there's a back corner of the room that maybe that's where they have small group. So maybe everyone's together for a large group, but then you're able to take them back and have this space where it's just for them. And you put the red carpet rope there and you make it a VIP section and those third graders cannot go in there. You know, how are you building anticipation throughout your ministry? So at every stage, someone's looking forward to what's next because you're trying to bridge gaps along the way, right? And so for that third grader to be like, oh man, I would love to see what's behind that curtain. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to be one of the things that keeps them engaged and keeps them wanting to come. So that room, you know, portable, we did wonders with the hallway, right? Yeah. Like if you can work around your fire codes and make sure that it's safe and there's pathways and you can see all the exits and everything, pipe and drape in a hallway is not a bad idea, you know, especially now that flat panels are less expensive and they're small and you could, you know, airdrop things to, you know, Apple TVs and, you know, make things work that way.
Yeah.
You can decorate with technology.
Right.
And you don't have to put a lot of money into it. It just has to be something that's different and something that's comfortable and something that they feel like is theirs.
Yeah.
And give them ownership of it. Right. Yeah, like say, hey, this is what we have. What would you guys like to see? Because, you know, if they have ownership of it, they're more likely to attend it because it's theirs, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Now, if environment really truly is not an option for your situation, you at least need to give your preteens an experience of their own, something that is just for your fourth and fifth graders however you divide that up.
Yeah.
Whether it's they get a party in the fall, a Christmas party, a spring party, whether, you know, it's, they get a day retreat, they get to go to an event like a Camp Kid Jam or something like that. That's, you know, something that they are looking forward to just those, you know, just for them.
Yeah.
It's giving them that unique experience that no one else gets. So they feel like, oh yeah, they do understand where I'm at. They do understand that I need something different. And those younger kids can look forward to it.
Yeah.
No, and I think it's really important because just a quick example. So our church, we do, just because of space, we have K through third and then we have 4 through 6. So those are two different classrooms. And occasionally, and if you're listening to this, you may be on the same boat as me. Your leaders don't show up for one reason or another, valid or last minute.
So, I can't believe it.
I know.
That is
you're not doing something right.
I know. But yeah,
you're leading this podcast.
I know, and I'm here.
I have lost so much respect.
No,
you're volunteering.
All right, goodbye, everyone.
I can't look at you right now.
But yeah, so that's how we have our environments, and I think it's really important for if you're listening to this, really listen to your students because there'll be the occasional, hey, we kind of have to put all the classrooms together because we don't have a preteen leader this morning, and I will audibly hear, and maybe my students are just more vocal, but they'll walk up and be like, oh man, no one's going to come get us today. Or, oh man, we have to be in that room. And they audibly say these things,
which makes
huge red flags on my part. You know, I don't have everything down, but my part of like, man, I really need to make sure we can structure this system so that they can have their own environment.
You know, one of the things that's really great though about preteens is in school throughout the week, teachers are giving them responsibility of leading learning groups.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the teacher will put them into groups of, you know, 6 kids, 8 kids, which are small groups.
Yeah.
And then they say, okay, you're in charge. 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 Right. And then they give a message from the front and they said, all right, you have all your supplies. You can go for it. And the teacher walks around from group to group to group. So with preteens, if you can give them some of that responsibility, like we're totally like, we never do that in the church, right? Yeah. We're always like, we have to micromanage everything. Where throughout the week, they're not being micromanaged necessarily. Mm. Like they're being guided and they're being facilitated and they're being led, but they're also given some autonomy to do some of that on their own. And there are ways that we can structure our small group environment. So when we don't have the ideal number of leaders to have one leader per 8 kids or whatever we decide that is, well, one leader can still have 2 groups. They just walk between them and they put a kid in charge. And there are ways to hack small group ministry and preteens where you still have your leaders there, but you're giving kids some of that ownership as well.
It's such a reminder of those 3 dials, right? That we talk about in
the Wonder Discovery Passion.
Yeah, Wonder Discovery Passion. Because at that phase, 4th and 5th grade, you know, discovery is still dialed up, but passion is starting to dial up. And so you're, by empowering them in that way, you're tapping into that dial that's starting to
turn. And then you're going to see like, oh my word, they would make a great preschool small group leader. Yes, as soon as they get into that, you know, seventh, eighth grade, you're like, you are going to come down. And then you're going to shoulder tap them and say, hey, I see these leadership skills in you. Yeah. And now we're growing leaders in the church.
Yeah. So what I've heard so far is I've heard exclusive area if you can provide it.
Yeah.
Right. An exclusive area if you can provide it. A separate room, separate area within the elementary space. It's ideal. Mm-hmm. That would work. Exclusive experiences.
Yes.
Right. Experiences that not everybody else. We used to do Nerf Wars.
Nice.
Like in the fall, we would have Nerf Wars and it was only for fourth and fifth
grade. That's so great. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It was so much fun. And you can imagine for the boys, that was glue.
Oh yeah.
For their, you know, their relationship with their small group leader. Cause
that I earned you another month at least.
Oh, at least. Only because the kid wanted to come back and tease the small group leader about how many times he
shot. Absolutely.
You know, so exclusive experiences that not everyone else gets to be a part of. Is there anything in addition? Like what else would we point out to say, this is what would make a fourth and fifth grade? Well, let's get down to the point. This is what would make a fifth grader or a fifth grade boy want to stick around.
Man, we hear a lot of questions about worship. Singing,
always.
That whole section of large group. You know, because large group, if you have the right communicator or the right video, like we talked about the so-and-so show, you've won that part of it because there's funny, there's a fun, you know, thing. Worship though, we tend to like, I'm just not going to do it. I think that what we need to understand with that is just because they're not singing or dancing doesn't mean they don't like it.
Yeah.
You just have to understand that they're in one of the most vulnerable phases of their life where they're so hyper aware of themselves and what people think of them that don't shame them. Don't call them out. Just kind of let it be and still do the worship because you're still wanting to give them that example that this is part of what we do in the life of the church. Mm-hmm. You know, that definitely is part of it. So that's one thing. When you're focused on that.
And grab their arms.
And have cool people on stage. I mean, have guys on stage, lead them that way.
Yeah.
You know, definitely having the right people on stage is important. And that's where, you know, the second thing that I would say is, you know, as a children's pastor, make sure that you're talking with your student pastor. Make sure that you are in a really good relationship with them because both of you have something at stake in this conversation.
That's good.
Yeah.
Where you have kids dropping out, you think they're going to church that, and then once they get into middle school, they'll automatically go to your environment. So that's not true.
Yeah.
Because they're used to going to church with their parents and nothing is pulling them out of that. And they don't know that. They might not even be aware that you have a sixth grade ministry because they've been going, you know, like that's just the way it goes. Right. And so you need to be in constant conversation with them and have your youth pastor be one of your communicators.
Mm.
You know,
that's really
let
good.
Them
that's
really see good. That, yeah. oh, wow, this is this person mm-hmm. that I'm going to be with next year. Mm-hmm. You know, so definitely bridge those gaps.
Right.
Maybe start introducing some of the music that they're going to be singing in middle school ministry into preteen ministry, just anything that teases like ultimately this is where we want to go. And then help your student ministry team own the transition process. So they feel like they're being welcomed into the new ministry rather than kicked out of the old ministry.
Right.
Because you always want the kid to feel wanted and liked because that's what they're questioning the most.
Oh gosh, that's really good.
Yeah, that's great. I love what you said there about the student ministry because it's like, if I'm listening to this as a kids pastor, it's always an awkward dance between a kids pastor and student pastor. Not always, but it can be, you know? And if we're talking about how do I go about starting a preteen ministry, the best place you could start is just with a lunch with your student pastor to talk about, we're losing our preteens.
Yeah.
I need your help.
Yeah.
Help me understand culture. Help me understand this. Yeah.
And if you're keeping your attendance data, which hopefully you have some sort of data there.
Yeah.
You can be really honest and say, hey, if this conversation is happening in February or March, you've already lost at least, you know,
half
many of your kids, right? Yeah. And you can be like, hey, so we have a situation.
Yeah.
I'm losing these kids. That means that they're dropping off and maybe they're coming to church with their parents, but I don't know that, you know? And so what can we do about this? Because these are kids that may or may not show up in your ministry. So the amount of kids you could possibly get is now becoming fewer.
Yeah.
And so how do we keep that building? Yeah, yeah. So preteens are inviting their friends and you're creating an environment that they want to come to. So you're actually going to get more into your sixth grade ministry because people love what you're doing in preteen ministry.
You know, I just realized, Dan, one of the mistakes that I've made, we've gone through those intentional steps, sat down with a student pastor to talk mm-hmm. through, here's this transition's coming, you know, how do we really watch this well and steward this well to be able to sustain as many of these students as possible. And our game plan seems to center around the spring, seems to center around January. You know, January is when the student pastor will come in and start communicating more to the larger group, right?
Yeah.
Which is great and effective. However, if I've lost them by the holidays,
right,
then I'm already down. We're starting at 50% in January. And I'm wondering if I need to rethink my strategy and do
Christmas
we need to have something?
One.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because really, we're going to have them through October. And, you know, when I think about the things, like we just had a Sunday fun day a couple of weeks ago where it's Heroes and Oreos, come dressed as a superhero. Mm. How many of those fifth grade boys are coming up dressed as a superhero? Not any, I'm sure.
Crickets.
Oh, yeah. But those are the things that I think remind a fifth grader, this is not really my thing anymore. And so if that's happening in October, then I'm just solidifying. Am I doing that or am I making something up? Am I solidifying that this is not your place and this isn't for you? And so,
I mean, it depends on the fifth grade boy. I mean, you're definitely going to have fifth grade boys who are still super into Legos and superheroes and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But you're definitely probably losing your girls.
Right.
At that moment. Like, I'm not dressing up like a superhero. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Like, that's not happening.
I got Oreos, man. I'll pay you with an Oreo if you want. Is that not enough? I don't get it.
But I think part of this whole situation is what is going to work in one person's community isn't necessarily going to work in someone else's community.
Sure.
Yeah. And so some of this game is you just got to try something.
Mm, yeah, that's good.
And let them see that you're trying. And I say, you know, Lego does this so well where they tap into what kids like about Lego and they, you know, and they have that innovators thing. And I think we need to tap into ask our kids, you know, and let them be the focus group that they need to be, because I think that will help us at least have a starting point and a game plan to like say, all right, you don't like superheroes. Okay, well, what would your thing be then?
Yeah.
Right. And so rather than just guessing,
right,
just go ask to them and ask because they'll get
ask
they'll,
them a question.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's really smart.
That's good.
Survey your kids.
A lot of great stuff. This is awesome. It's a great conversation. We could keep going on, but we can't for time's sake to do that. But the takeaways from this, I would say, is that we talked about preteens are changing, taking the time to understand what's going on in their mind, with their bodies, what's going on with everything with them to do that. And the best way to do that possibly is to start a conversation with your youth pastor as well. So to work together towards this issue that we talked about. And then do what you can. Do what you can to give them an experience. I think they'll give you some grace because they know you're trying. You may not hit it every time, but at least thank you for trying. Thank you for the effort to do that. And whether that's giving them their own experience, their own space, or their own event, whatever it may be, and working towards that. I think that's great. So, Dan, thanks for hanging out with us today,
Absolutely.
Man.
Thanks
now,
for having me.
Yeah, there's a lot more that we could talk about, and we would encourage you to buy Dan's book. It is called Caught in Between. Engage your preteens before they check out. You can get it on the store, the Orange Store, or you can get it on Amazon. You can get it all over the world.
You can come to my house.
You can come to my house.
I have three copies.
That's
so if you find my house, I'll give you a copy.
That's right. Go to Kellen's house and do that right now. So, all right. Well, thanks so much for hanging out with us, Dan. And thank
you
for listening to the Orange Kids podcast, however you're listening to us. And if you like what you've heard and you want to hear more, make sure you subscribe to our podcast. And while you're there, leave us a rating and review. We would appreciate it. And if you have a friend who came to mind as you were listening to this to say they need to hear this or our volunteers need to hear this, make sure that you send them to our website at orangekidmen.com. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Kellen, Gina, thanks for hanging out. Another great episode.
Good.
And Kellen, you know what it's time for.
Ooh, a ditty?
It is time for you to take us out with a little preteen ditty, if you will. Hit it.
All right. Preteens, preteens. Don't get mean. They're just growing up and learning new things. Kidmen podcast. That's all I got.
Wow. That was... Thank you for... Hey, at least you're trying.
I'm trying.
All right. Until next time, thank you for listening.